I'm John Batchelor. Michigan, great state of Michigan, and my good friend of many decades, Thaddeus McCotter. He writes in American Greatness. He's a former member of Congress from Livonia in Michigan. And he helps me to understand a state that is dominated, in my experience, these last cycles by the Democratic Party. At one time, of course, the Republican Party was well represented. You will remember President Gerald Ford from the great state of Michigan. Right now, Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. The victory was won by an outsider, a man who was involved in medical affairs, I believe federal and state medical affairs, Dr. Al-Sayed, Abdul Al-Sayed. He won with 48.5% of the vote, defeating Haley Stevens, who was described to me as an establishment candidate with 47.5% of the vote. In other words, very close, very close. Statewide, Mr. Al-Sayed won two counties with large margins, Kent County and Washtenaw County, whereas Ms. Stevens won the other counties but by narrower margins, and the victory was all Al-Sayed's. The puzzle here is this is a battle within the Democratic Party, something you've introduced to me to over these last weeks. DSA versus the establishment. What is DSA in the state of Michigan? What does it represent? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Well, it represents what it says it represents, but you have to remember Dr. Al-Sayed did not run as a DSA candidate. While he was endorsed by AOC, Bernie Sanders, and others, he has not said that he is a DSA candidate. He claims that he is anti-establishment. He also says that he is not a socialist, while he supports extensive regulation of the economy. So you have to be very clear. I think in many ways, the Democrats, especially the cannier, politically savvy Democrats, are starting to run from the DSA label. As we continue to see, when you look at some of the things that their agenda is talking about, defund the police, eliminate ICE, some of the wilder propositions that they put forward, people are beginning to talk about just the very concept of socialism, which still is considered a non-starter in many quarters here in the United States. So when you look at it, John, to say the DSA, you have to be very careful because, again, what does the DSA mean in Michigan may not be some of the reasons why the Democrats voted for Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed. What we can say is that there's a lot of unhappiness with the Democratic establishment, not only in the country, but within Michigan, something I've identified for years now, especially with the start, with the root being Bernie Sanders being one of the avatars on it. So when you look at it, John, it's really an anti-Trump vote to a certain extent within the Democratic Party. They believe that he's not been opposed strongly enough, vociferously enough. I don't know what the phrase would be, but if you looked at it on the Republican side, the Democrat establishment is considered what Dino Democrats in name only, I guess, would be their equivalent of the rhinos. They're not happy with them. And so a candidate like Dr. Al-Sayed, who had a podcast prior to running, who I think ran for governor unsuccessfully against Governor Whitmer, would be the type of candidate they would gravitate to, especially some of his positions that he enunciated early on, such as the abolition of ICE and others. He ran saying that he would not back down, that he would be a fighter. And I think that in many ways, especially in places like Washtenaw, which has the University of Michigan, in places like Kent County, which has a lot of younger people, and as well as Grand Valley University in it, up in Allendale, which would then say we want a fighter. So we want someone who's going to stand up to Donald Trump. One of the problems that you had is the Democratic establishment, Governor Whitmer, Senator Peters, and others got behind Representative Haley Stevens, and it wasn't enough. So clearly their support only solidified within the minds of Dr. Sayed's voters that the Democratic establishment was closing ranks and that they needed to be fought off. And he became the person that they chose. And at this point in time, the Democrats are trying to gather around Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed. They're trying to make sure that he's not perceived as a radical. But again, though he says he's not a democratic socialist, part of the problem that he has now is many of his podcasts and many of his posts in the past, which he tried to take down or tried to basically tuck under the rug, are starting to come out. And some of the ads that we're seeing are Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed in his own words. That's probably not a welcome development by his campaign at this point.
The victory in the general election requires the Democratic Party support of Al-Sayed. Have they decided now that the primaries behind them were all won team and they're pulling together and the money's going to him? Do we know that?
Yes, the way that people look at it for the Democrats is that they have to hold Michigan win their majority. And so, but if you look at it, John, the Republicans have to change Michigan's voting patterns for U.S. Senator to hold their majority. I would argue that you've got places like North Carolina where we're already down, I think, 9-10 points. And you got Sherrod Brown running. So Michigan, the Republicans need Michigan. With Mike Rogers, a person I've served with, running, he ran against Alyssa Slotkin, only lost by 14,000 votes. Granted, it was a much better climate 2 years ago for Republicans. Donald Trump was winning Michigan by 100,000 votes. Still rankles that Mike only needed 14,001 to win that election. Regardless, the Republicans, Michigan has not been very successful in electing Republicans to the U.S. Senate. So it's going to take a change of voting patterns, and this is a very difficult time for Republicans to try to do that. But Mike's a very good candidate. He's going to work hard. He represents a stark policy contrast with Dr. Abdul El-Sayed. The Democrats' understanding, this is a rallying around Dr. Abdul El-Sayed. President Obama phoned him to try to send the message from the Democratic establishment that it's all right, we're all going to play together. Because we saw this recipe for them before, where no matter what differences they may have had, they gathered around the establishment candidate. Biden would put in a DSA-type agenda, Bernie Sanders' agenda underneath him, and ran him successfully in 2020. And so they're hoping that the recipe of we all got to band together to stop Donald Trump, you know, nothing unites people more than faster than a common enemy, they're hoping that that will work to balm and bridge some of the divides within the Democratic Party, at least until they can get control of the Senate.
Has Mr. El-Sayed made remarks that make the Democratic establishment unhappy? Governor Whitmer, for example, has he said, have pointed out their inadequacies in some rude fashion?
I don't know, rude fashion. He's just pointed out that he's a fighter. A lot of it's just saying what he is, and it's clearly he's distinguishing himself from the Democrats that are already there, and it availed him well. He's not attacked them personally or anything, which makes them getting behind him a lot easier. I don't know that maybe he said something about Chuck Schumer in the past. I don't know, but Schumer's a pro, so he's not going to let that bother him because Schumer wants to get control of the majority in the United States Senate. So he hasn't done anything other than he's an outsider that defeated them all. And so they're going to make sure, because you have to look at it this way. No matter what the Democrats think of each other, they believe that Donald Trump is an existential threat to their democracy.
Right.
So they're all going to band together to defeat him, much like a lot of Republicans have voted for Donald Trump in the past because they believe that as bad as he was, that he was still better than somebody like Joe Biden or whoever the Democrats put up, like Kamala Harris.
It's impossible to ignore the fact that El-Sayed is a ethnic identity that is not much in the Senate, to my knowledge. There have been a few Arab Americans in the Senate, I think one from Michigan at one point, but not dominating the story unless he does not mention it. Is he about foreign policy or is that indifferent to him?
The traditional Democratic establishment today position on Israel, because I think within the party, within the majority of the Democratic Party, I think you see a lot of anti-Israel, anti-Zionist.
Right, right. But
it was just the way they will phrase it. But traditionally, I would argue that he is probably more in tune with where the Democratic base is on a position like Israel and others than Haley Stevens was. And I think that drove a lot of his vote, especially when you look at places like Ann Arbor, which is where the University of Michigan is, where the college kids are, and where there's a lot of pro-Palestinian support. But he has made the focus of his campaign, despite many of the other issues. I think his key was, I'm a fighter, which is what the Democratic, especially some of the farther left elements of the Democratic Party, believe they were not getting from the establishment figures that they've elected in the past. And again, it's the DSA, Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, he ran, I think, once again, once for governor. But look, he did a lot of podcasting. He did a lot of messaging. He did some work as a health director during COVID. So he's done things in the social media square. So he was not unknown to a host of the Democratic Party. A lot of the traditional media may not have known him. But again, he was on Fox 2 here in Detroit. So he's very savvy. He took a different path to win the nomination for the U.S. Senate. It wasn't like he worked his way up through the ranks, but you don't have to anymore, apparently. So I think he's more of a far left candidate than he is a radical Democratic choice. But when you put him up in a general election, then he becomes a radical compared to what we've seen in the past. This is clearly outside the norm of a traditional candidate for the U.S. Senate out of the Democratic Party here in Michigan. And I point out again that those candidates continue to win. So what we're seeing is now, we're seeing kind of an attempt by the far, far left of the Democratic Party to name a senator and get away with it in the way of election here in Michigan. And they very well might.
Some words for Mike Rogers. My memory of him is that he served with you, and he served, I believe he headed the Intelligence Committee at one time. Mm-hmm. And he left the Congress in good graces. You say he ran for the Senate seat last time and came very close to it. What is his way of winning Michigan? What will he be emphasizing in debates with El-Sayed?
Well, I think Mike's going to talk about how Medicare for All and others are going to be problematical for senior citizens, how it's going to take resources from them, it's going to take services from them. I think he's going to talk about how Michigan needs to focus on manufacturing, how to bring manufacturing back here to Michigan. I think he's going to talk about some of the policy problems that the United States faces. Clearly, immigration is going to be an issue for him. He's going to continue to support strong border security. So I think it's going to be a traditional Republican-type campaign. Mike was a conservative Republican. He's always had good campaign skills. He's energetic. He's tireless. And it's going to be a nice matchup between a conservative Republican and to my mind, a far farther left of center Democrat than we've ever seen before here in Michigan.
That is McCutter, American Greatness, and from the great state of Michigan, looking at the Michigan primary as a window on the general election coming November. When we come back, foreign policy in general is part of the story that the Republican Party must deal with on all these states that are at issue for the Senate. We're talking about the Senate now. I'm John Batchelor. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Thaddeus McCutter of American Greatness, former member of Congress from the great state of Michigan. We've been looking specifically at the victory of a man named Abdul Al-Sayed in Michigan in the Democratic primary. That does not, however, speak to the general election's issue of foreign policy, in this case, war-making in foreign policy, by the Trump administration. Thaddeus has made it very clear that Mr. Trump won Michigan by a large amount. 100,000 is the number I've heard. And yet it's 2 years later, and the president, having made remarks in his candidacy that no foreign wars, never again, is now involved one or more foreign wars, and there's no end in sight to this morning, no end in sight. That is, in the general election, as you've made it very clear, the Republicans can easily unseat the Democratic ambition to win the Senate by taking Michigan. Is the foreign policy of the Trump administration a burden for Mike Rogers in this cycle?
Well, all politics is local. People are very worried about the economy. It's the number one issue. It's going to remain the number one issue. Outside events such as foreign policy, such as the Iran war, will be measured by how they affect people here at home. Right now, you're looking at the Democrats running ads saying the gas prices are high thanks to Donald Trump's Iran war. So the Democrats understand this. The Republicans understand this. They understand that the key to winning in November is going to be how you address the quote-unquote affordability, end quote, what the Democratic labels call, I would argue, just the inflation, the cost of living, the economic situation in general. But that being what it is, the Iran war is a continuing problem for this administration because most Americans do not support it. So you have not only the domestic consequences of the Iran war causing problems for the American people you have their continued opposition to the Iran war itself. So on matters of war and peace right now, the Trump administration and the Republican candidates are clearly behind the eight ball.
We name the states that are identified by the Democrats as possible flips. Maine, this is Democratic talk, not my, I'm not declaring this to be accurate. North Carolina, Thaddeus has mentioned, where the polling favors the Democrat, a surprise, but there it is. Texas, again, the polling is unreliable given a state as dominated by the Republican Party as Texas, but because the Republican candidate is not as popular as the man in the seat now, there is some tension in the Republican Party. Thaddeus has mentioned Sherrod Brown, who in his 70s is running to regain his own Senate seat in a state that's decidedly more red than when he lost his seat. That would be Ohio. We're looking at Michigan. And there are a few other states that we could mention, but that's enough. There are vulnerable Republicans in each of those areas. So it is not impossible to imagine the Democrats winning the Senate, but they have to run the table. I think that's a pool metaphor, but it might be other game that I'm unfamiliar with. But in any event, it's not an easy task in front of them. It's going to require more than money, a deal of luck. And Thaddeus, how do you measure right now the Republican Party dealing with the Iran war? The president did make the remark the other day that people don't mind paying a few cents more for gasoline if, and then he added a condition about nuclear weapons. Is that enough to carry the Republican doubts about foreign wars?
What do you mean by carry, John?
Get past the problem. We have 30 seconds.
No. It's going to be measured, its impact on the United States, and it's not a few cents. I think the president's messaging on this has been abysmal from day one. The argument is made, what about the Iran nuclear program? I thought that was taken care of with the first time that we went to bomb. So it becomes a question of this is an individual in search of a narrative to justify justify not only what's happening now, but what may happen in the future. And I don't think that Americans are, I think in many ways, I'm very dangerous that they're starting to tune him out on this issue.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.